Living Hope Assembly of God.
While many of us would be spending time with friends and family, opening gifts and sitting around a fireplace, the center of our focus, those who are born again, the center of our focus would primarily be on the birth of a king. Amen. And that king is Jesus. He's not just any king. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. We now live in a culture which has largely abandoned the real value of the coming of Christ. For so many people, the centerpiece of why we do what we do is no longer there. And I think this morning, it gives us an opportunity to make sure that our perspective, our focus, our lives are aligned with what really matters, not just during this season, but every season. Amen? Many of us, if we're not careful, we could find ourselves in the house of God worshiping and singing songs, but our hearts are not truly aligned with why we do what we do. And we're just really going through the motions and really not focused in on the celebration of who we're truly celebrating. Many of us, rather than worshiping the King of the universe, we find ourselves worshiping comers. It's the celebration. It's the going to buy gifts and the opening of gifts instead of the focus being on Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this world veiled in human flesh. He came as a baby in a manger, grew to be a man, and ultimately became the epitome of grace and mercy. God, wrapped in flesh, lived and dwelt among men. Can you imagine that, guys? Let's get our head around that for a moment. God came to this earth and wrapped himself in flesh, became a man, and died for us. We talk about the greatest gift. That is the greatest gift. As we celebrate Christmas, let us consider not only the fact of his coming, but much more. Let us consider the meaning of his coming, and not only the meaning of his having come to the earth, but the meaning of his having come to dwell within each and every one of us that yield ourselves to his love. This morning, can I ask you a question? Are you truly yielded to him? Because that's why he came. He came for a relationship with you and I. He came to fix what was broken. He came to be intimately involved with each in every one of us. And if we're not careful, week after week, year after year, we'll lose that focus. He's no longer a baby, but he is the King of glory. He's seated at the right hand of God Almighty in heaven, and he is making intercession for you and I. Listen, get your heads around that, guys. We don't have to sit in the place of defeat. No, but we're seated in heavenly places with him. And today I want to quickly go through the scripture so we can understand that. I believe that if we get our heads around that, guys, we would not have so many mishaps in life. We would not wallow in so many defeats in life, but we will arise and rise in victory because our victory is in Jesus. You'll stand this morning for the reading of God's word, and we're going to read Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth into our hearts the Spirit of his Son, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen? Let's give God a round of applause. Amen? Listen, you're no longer apart from him. At least you don't have to be. You can be up close and personal with him. You're part of the royal family of God. Let's act like it. We're kingdom kids. We're children of God. God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, be glorified, Lord. I pray today that every single one of us, God, that we would not walk in condemnation, that we would not walk in guilt, but God, that we would walk in your spirit and live it out on a daily basis. God, be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice in verse 4, Paul says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Jesus came at just the right time in God's redemptive plan. When the world was perfectly prepared for God's work, he sent his son. The world was in a mess. It was a wreck. And the world is still a wreck. And the world is still a mess. And the redemptive work of Christ consistently goes on to every person that makes him or herself available to the salvation that Christ offers each and every one of us on a consistent basis. God sent his son. God willingly gave his son as a ransom for you and I. God sent heaven's greatest gift to a broken and desperate, deplorable world that was spiritually bankrupt and in need of being redeemed. How many of you this morning, you're glad that you are redeemed? You have been bought back. Man, you no longer are slaves to sin. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Listen, the enemy doesn't want us to know that. He wants us to live in defeat. He wants us to still live in that prison of despair. He wants us to still live in that place where we feel like that we can't live life, where we feel like we're defeated, where we feel like we don't have no victory. God doesn't want us there this morning. God sent heaven's greatest gift to the earth. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You just have to receive it. Today, receive heaven's greatest gift. What we see in the nature of God, we see the heart of a father. It's the heart of a father. What good gift will he withhold from us if we walk upright? Listen, he gave us heaven's greatest gift so that we can live a life of victory. This reveals the heart of a father. It is, and it was, and always has been, and always will be his plan to bring salvation to humanity. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen from the creation of the world. He was chosen from the creation of the world. Get that in your head. He was chosen from the creation of the world. He was selected. He was set aside by God. He was called. God looked in the heavens and looked in the earth and could not find anyone worthy. But he looked at his son and said, I'm going to send him down to redeem man. Does that not reveal the love of God to you? What greater love than this? Than a man will lay down his life for his friends. Listen, God is calling you a friend before you became a friend. But was revealed in the last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God. Did you get that? Through him, you believe in God. Because there's no way, according to John chapter 10, there is no other way to God except through Jesus. You can try any other way. There's nothing you can do. You can't get there through a priest. You can't get there through a man. You can't get there through offerings and tithing. You can't get there through serving the church. The only way you're going to get there is through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me or through me. I am the way, Jesus said. So that erases everything. He is the only way to God. So why do we continuously spend our efforts trying in a way as if we can earn our way to heaven? It's accepting of the Son. Listen, when you accept the Son, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And he helps you. He aids you and he assists you in this journey. You can't do it on your own. We need Jesus. Can I get an amen? Verse 21 says in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. Raised him. That's a powerful thing. Raised him from the dead. And God is wanting to raise us from the dead spiritually. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within you, consistently raising you up out of the mess that we find ourselves oftentimes even wallowing in. He raised us out of this dead state, just like he called Lazarus' name, and Lazarus came out of that tomb. In the same way, the Spirit of God is calling us, and we are coming out of that spiritual tomb into new life and walking in victory after victory in Jesus Christ. And so your faith and hope are in God. Can I ask you a question? What are you hoping in? What are you looking for? What are you searching for? It's kind of like that kid who goes down, runs downstairs, and runs to the living room and looks under the Christmas tree only to unwrap the gift in hopes that he or she finds the toy that they've been hoping for all year long. Listen, why don't we have the same mentality? Why don't we run to the feet of Jesus and pour our hearts out to him each and every day? Almost like concerning Jesus and God sending his Son. It's almost like God went to the gift store of heaven and purchased the most expensive item that heaven had to offer and wrapped it in flesh and sent it to the earth as a gift for all humanity. Listen, God, Jesus is not just a gift for you, but Jesus is a gift for all humanity. Those who call on the name of Jesus shall and will be saved. He is the only name that we can call on. There is no other name that we can call on. All the other names are of people who are dead, who have no power. But Jesus Christ has all power. Amen? The greatest gift that we've all received this year is Jesus, the holy child of God, which the angel spoke to when he spoke about when he spoke to Mary. We have been given a gift much greater than anything which could be wrapped in ribbons, stuffed in boxes, or loaded into stockings. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 35, it says, it is written, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. That's amazing, church. How many of us ever had an angel to come visit with us and speak to us like that? Only Mary he spoke to that candidly said, you're going to give birth to God. Can you imagine the responsibility that was placed up on her shoulders during that time? The question I pose to you this morning is this: what will you do with heaven's greatest gift? That's been the question since day one. Not what would your neighbor do, but what will you do? Not what is that church down the street doing with the greatest gift, but what are you going to do with the greatest gift? You want to see a church that is powerful? Look at a church that understands the greatest gift is Jesus Christ, and what will you do with him on this earth? It will radically change you, and it will radically change those around you. Amen. When Jesus stepped on the scene, Jesus was powerful and everybody recognized him when he stepped on the scene. He was one that spoke with authority. He captivated the mind of the social elite and the social intellect, those who felt like they were smart. When Jesus spoke, he spoke as if his word came from God. How do you speak? When you're in the world and you're having conversation with your coworker, when you're at the grocery store and you have an opportunity to speak, do you speak as if your words are coming from God, or do you speak as just a person who is void of the Spirit of God? Quiet. See, I love giving gifts to my kids. I promise you I do. But there are times that we give kids gifts and they'd rather play with the boxes that the gifts came in. Oftentimes, God blesses us. We'll rather play with the blessing than play with the Jesus. Are you following me? We're not really different than kids. Hey, I like the blessing. I do. I really do. But man, we need to get our heads around the real idea. If God ever blesses you with something, don't ever forget to give him praise. Don't ever forget that he is the one that blessed you with what you have. And no matter what, the little toys that he's allowed us to gain and the jobs and the finances and the money and whatever else, he has given us the ability to attain wealth. Don't get it twisted. Don't ever get it twisted where you're more inclined to worship the gift than the gift giver. He's God, amen? He's a good father. He gives good gifts to us, but at the same time, man, he'll withhold things from you too when he knows that you're not ready for them. Can I ask you another question? Will you throw it to the side? Heaven's greatest gift. Man, I tell you what, I'm going to be transparent this morning. There are moments that I've just thrown heaven's greatest gift to the side. And I don't depend on him. I don't lean on him like I should. There are moments I have to get things back into perspective. Listen, you know how insulting it is when my kids, in a way, I've spent my hard-earned money to buy them their favorite toy, seem like, and they discard it, and they act like it's not of value anymore, and they selfishly want something else. Listen, it's in that moment where we have to correct them, and it's in that moment where we start to worship the gift instead of the giver that the Holy Spirit has to come in and correct us. Do we throw it to the side assuming it to be of little value, or will you treasure it for what it's really worth? We have an opportunity this morning, because I promise you, if you're treasuring him for what he's really worth, your life will be transformed forever. The church will be at its finest. Listen, I don't have to look far. I don't have to look far. I don't have to be super spiritual to tell where people are with God. I don't. It's the activity of your life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in here is going to come out. I promise you, you can't say that you love God and hate your neighbor. It doesn't mix. It's the activity of your life. You can't say that you want to build God's kingdom and you sit on your hands. Oh. Can I preach to you this morning? I want to charge every single one of us. Man, if the greatest gift lives within inside of you, listen, he didn't want to be the greatest. He became the least. He was always found serving and not being served. Will you allow the gift of Christ to transform you? Will you allow the gift of Christ to saturate everything which you do? Will you see the baby Jesus for who he is, or will you dismiss him as another ordinary baby? Another gift among your gifts. For the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, let's turn there briefly. For the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, man, when they received the word, we're going to see what they did. Remember, my focus this morning is the gift giver. We're talking about the gift of Christ. We don't talk about anything else throughout this series. I've already said enough. The gift of Christ is the greatest gift that heaven has to offer. Luke chapter 2, verse 9 says, "And then the angel of the Lord appeared to them," talking about the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were very afraid. But the angel said to them, "Listen, do not fear, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people," to all people. In verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was with the angel a company of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill toward men." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Verse 16 says, "So they came, hurry, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they made widely known the word which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it had been told them." This morning, I want you to notice a few things out of this passage. If you're taking notes, write this down. God often uses the most unlikely people to reveal his glory. We're so quick to dismiss people because of what they look like. We're so quick to dismiss people because they don't have the job, the profession, they don't have what we think they should have, they don't speak our language. But I promise you, inside of every person, God has a gift that he desires to bring a talent, something that could be used for building his kingdom. But many people who especially are not born again, they don't ever get a chance to really uncover God's plan for their life until they surrender and make him their Lord and Savior. But many of those people we write off. Back in those days, shepherds were the most despised people. They were considered outcasts from all respectable society. Their honesty and integrity was so questionable. They were not allowed to testify in a court of law. The only people lower than the shepherds were lepers. Isn't it ironic that God used them? Isn't it also ironic that God often used the less likely in society of his of first century church and so on throughout church history to do some amazing things? You don't find that ironic? And then you look at your life, and sometimes we feel like, man, God won't ever use me. God can't use me. You don't understand where I come from. You don't understand what I've gone through in life. I've been rejected by most people. Listen, that's a good thing in a lot of ways because those are the people that God uses. Those who are rejected by society. God raises up to do great things. Why? Why would he use people like that? Man, it reveals his glory. He reveals who he is. He reveals his power, his authority. Amen? Number two, next the angel pleaded with them not to fear. Man, I'm going somewhere with this morning. I'm going to preach it anyways. Let's go. One of the greatest enemies to faith is fear. And see, we can sit inside of the church and pretend like there are moments that we don't fear. But the enemy is a liar. There are moments that each and every one of us fear. And it hinders us. Not only from accomplishing the things inside of the house of God, but it hinders us in life. Fear locks many of us in prison and throws away the key. And we never accomplish the things that we desire to accomplish. We never build relationships with others because we have fear inside of us. We never do the things that we could do if we could break the stronghold of fear. The enemy will attempt to get us to fear because when we fear, we start to doubt. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe today? Do you trust today? Because if you truly believe and if you truly trust, you'll start walking in that direction. You won't allow anything to hinder you. You won't allow anybody to stop you. You won't allow the voices of the past nor the voices of the present to stop you. You'll keep moving forward to the things of God. I just feel like I need to slow down for a moment and kind of talk this thing out with you guys. Listen, if you are going to be successful in anything, you have to break that spirit of fear off of your life. And the only way you can break it off your life is through the power of God and realize that he did not give you a spirit of fear. Are you following me, church? The angels brought the shepherds not only good news, what I noticed out of the text, but he brought them life-changing news. The gospel is not just good news, but the gospel is life-changing news. This is not good news just for some people, but this is good news for all people who will lend a listening ear to what the Spirit has to say. The shepherds not only believed when they heard the good news, but it caused them to go. When we hear the good news, there's something about a prompting that takes place inside of us. How many of you, after you were born again, begin to share your faith? Almost immediately. I know I did. I almost immediately start sharing my faith because there was this joy inside of me that I could not hold in. I wanted others to know about it. And immediately after the angels, they went from being afraid to having a boldness and this faith that seems to surpass many of our faiths today in society. They got up and they began to move and move towards Bethlehem. And they went and they began to make known what God had said to them concerning this child. Church, what are we as the corporate body going to do with the gift that God has given us? I like the shepherds because the shepherds took action. Are we going to take action or are we going to remain quiet? Are we going to consistently hold in this greatest gift that God has given to us? We need to go out and proclaim it and tell the world about the goodness of Jesus. Either he has changed you and transformed you or he has not changed you and transformed you. Listen, if it's on the inside of you, it has to come out. I'm pleading with us today to share our faith. share this good news about heaven's greatest gift. The Lord speaks to us, and he does so with the desire to get us moving in some direction. What often happens to many of us is that we know that God is speaking, but we are afraid. And we don't act on it. Because, man, if we act on it, we might get embarrassed. We might lose friendships with other people. We might offend somebody. At the end of the day, if you're holding the greatest gift and you want to give it to someone you love, you're not going to allow anything to stop you from giving that gift to that person. What is hindering us, church? What is holding us back? And I have to believe that for many of us, it's fear. How many people go through the Christmas season celebrating the celebration instead of celebrating the Savior? How many of us are doing that? The message of Christmas calls us to action. For some, God calls you to the most basic and crucial action to give your life to him. Can I ask you a question? Guys, listen, I want to be real with you this morning. Some of us, just because you've said a prayer doesn't mean you're saved. Good morning. Just because you said a prayer, you have to confess and believe. Believe is taking action of what was said, of what you read. It's a lifestyle. It's a life change. It's a convinced life, that it's a convinced mind, made up mind. It's something that has happened supernaturally on the inside. If the Spirit of God can transform a man, that old things are passed away and behold, all things are made new. If there's a rebirth and someone is being reborn, listen, that's a supernatural thing, but that is a powerful thing. It's more than just a prayer. It's an activity of your life. I'm convinced, and I'm not going to allow you to unconvince me. That's what salvation is about. That's what your hope is in. Listen, your hope is in Jesus. It is not that easily lost. If your nature has been changed, you can't unchange your nature. A supernatural thing took place, just like in Ezekiel chapter 36 that we talked about on Wednesday night. He says he's going to give you a new heart and place a right spirit within you. In other scriptures, and then he says, I'm going to place my spirit. I'm going to put my spirit within you. And it will cause you to obey me. Paraphrasing. He's going to do that. So that's a supernatural thing that takes place when heaven's greatest gift is placed within us. Listen, I don't have time for the shaking and baking, the shucking and jiving. Guys, listen, there is a life that comes along with being born again. He's not looking for your admiration. He's not calling for your approval. He wants your heart and your life. He wants all of you. God sent his son to make a way for us to have salvation. And he wants your life in return. He wants every single bit of you to be committed and dedicated to him. He wanted so much that he came to earth to reach you. He went to the cross to set you free from sin and bad decisions of your past. For me, it was August 8, 2001 that I surrendered my life to him and he set me free. Can you imagine that Christ rose from the dead to show you that he was telling the truth and also to give you a glimpse of what lies ahead for everyone who follows him? Listen, God could have come and just came and swiped the enemy and killed him. But he came as a baby became a man, allowed them to kill him. Then he rose again on the third day. Listen, he didn't have to do that, but he did. Our walk with God is a process, amen? It's a journey. It's a life of dedication and appreciation for God's one and only Son. And on this journey and during this process, we must keep on going no matter what. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. We'll read what it says in verse 12 through 14. And this is the Apostle Paul. He understood that it was a process. He understood that it was a journey, that it was going to take hard work and dedication. And this is what he said in verse 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Do you have goals in God? Do you wake up with an idea or a desire to please him more? Or is your life on cruise control and you're satisfied where you're at? He keeps giving you gift after gift, grace after grace. What are you giving him? Are you setting goals to honor him and to please him? But Paul goes on to say, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press toward the goal to win the prize for God, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. As a follower of Christ, are you pressing on to a higher level and deeper relationship with Jesus? If you're not, start today. Start today. You can do it, church. You can read your Bible. You can pray more. Stop letting the devil tell you that you don't have time. That's all you have is time. But the time is ticking out. His second coming is soon to come. And he's going to come back for the church. Are you putting into practice the biblical knowledge you already have? And the truth that you already know? Are you putting it into practice? Are you truly attempting to live it out on a daily basis? Pressing means that we are not giving up regardless of the pressures that life has to offer. Circumstances will come more than likely and change and life would shift and our emotions would shift and all of these things are going to happen. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to have difficult seasons. You're going to have up days. You're going to have down days. But are you continually pressing? Are you continually moving forward? Listen, pressing and moving forward doesn't always mean that you're going to be walking. For some of us, we have to crawl in order to get to where we're trying to get to. There are seasons that we're on our face, literally crawling because we are exasperated. We're out of spiritual breath. We want to quit, but there's something inside of us that keeps us pressing. And I have to believe that it is heaven's greatest gift that is pushing us along. Take hold of the gift. Like that kid who runs downstairs and takes hold of the gift and hold on to it. Have you ever been that kid on Christmas and you received that gift and you were like, this is just what I wanted. Jesus is just what we needed. Regardless of what we wanted, many of us didn't even know we needed him, but he came and delivered and set us free and woke us up and made us alive to the things of God. Take hold of it. The last thing I want you to notice out of that text, out of Luke chapter 2, is Mary. The Bible says that she pondered these things. She kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Every now and then, we need to be like Mary after we've heard the news. We just need to stop and just meditate on what God has said. We don't need to rush. We don't need to look at the watch and say, man, Pastor, you're going over the time. Listen, you know why so many of us miss God? It's because we're too busy doing this. Listen, you're going to eat. Call it a fast. Listen, if we were really hungry and thirsty for the things of God, you wouldn't care what time it was. If you really appreciated the gift, being here today would be a place that you desire to be all the time. And time would not be a factor. Listen, there's going to come a time again, because there's nothing new under the sun, where people are going to once again enjoy coming to church. And they're not going to want to leave. They're going to fellowship. They're going to love on each other. They're not going to let the busyness of life, the busyness of life, take hold of them. But they're going to say, I want to be in God's presence. And I just want to saturate in God's presence. I don't want to leave. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever just longed to be in His presence? Listen, there's going to come a day where we be in His presence forever. Listen, and in His presence is the fullness of joy. Who doesn't want joy? Listen, you can have joy right now. Why don't you go ahead and start seeking His face right now and say, God, I need joy. I need peace. The enemy has robbed me long enough, and I refuse to leave this place. If that preacher talking about a greatest gift, I'm going to take hold of it, and I'm not going to let it go. I don't care what takes place next. You get out of my way. Don't you hinder me. I'm going to get what I have been praying for. She pondered it. Do you receive that gift today? Do you want to take hold of it today? While all of the things are good in life, we take hold of it. But a lot of times when things are bad in life, we don't take hold of the greatest gift. Can I just be real? Those moments we let go of the greatest gift, we start searching everywhere else. I remember there was this thing I had over here, and the greatest gift is right here. The answer to all of your prayers, everything that you could ever hope for, is right there. It's found in Jesus Christ. You don't have to look near, and you don't have to look far. You just have to look right here. He's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Because we have the greatest gift, we're no longer slaves, but we're sons and daughters. I read on social media not too long ago a story about an orphan kid, a foster kid in Oklahoma. I don't know if it's real or not, but it's going to make a good point this morning. And the question was asked, what do you want in a family? See, because we have been adopted into the royal family of God. What do you want in a family? And this is what this kid said. He said, I want food and water. He says, don't hit on me. He says, I want a house with running water and light. I want love, mom and dad not to fight. I want no drugs, don't kill my pets, help with school, nice clean clothes, no lice and no bugs in the house, clean bed with cover. Don't sell my toys, treat me fair, don't get drunk, TV in the house. Let me keep my games, school stuff, nice shoes, my own comb, soap, nice house, AC and heater, coat, and toothbrush. Man. And we don't understand how good we have it. So many people, guys, if we lack in that, before our conversion, we were this kid. We were beat up by the devil, abused greatly, lacking in so many areas, and it was not until Christ took hold of us and set us free that we received all of the things that we need pertaining to this life. We have something to give God glory for. and give him praise, for you're no longer slaves, but you are sons and daughters of the King. You have been adopted into the royal family of God. Listen, take hold of that this morning. And notice this thing, just at the right time, Paul says, God sent his son into the courtroom of life and took full custody of all who accept him as Father. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You want true happiness and joy? You want a peace of mind and serenity? You want a hope and a future? Then place your trust in the greatest gift to humanity. Give your life to Christ. I'm not talking about part of your life, but I'm talking about giving your whole self to him in a relationship. In verses 5 through 7, Paul says, God sent his son to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth into our hearts the spirit of his son, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Before Christ, we were all estranged and separated in God's grace towards us. In Ephesians 2:11-13, it says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises of God that God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Did you get that? You're no longer orphans. You're no longer foster kids. But you are a part of the family. The Spirit of God is in you. Now you can cry, Abba, Father. You can call him Dad. You can call him Father. You can call him Papa. He's all of those things. This word Abba, it's a word of endearment. It's an intimate word. It's not just loosely used. It's a word of intimacy. It means that he loves you unconditionally. It means that you are a part of him and he is a part of you. You're no longer separated, but you are connected with him now, and you can cry to him every single day, in the morning, in the midday, and in the wee hours of the night. You can call on his name and he would come and deliver you and set you free. Listen, call on the name of Jesus, the greatest gift known to man. It wouldn't be enough that we are purchased out of the slave market. But God's work for us doesn't end there. We are then elevated to a place of sons and daughters by God's adoption for us and to us. I'm excited. You guys are looking at me like, man, let's just get it over with. This gift is so ridiculous and undeserved, but God, in his love towards us, gave us heaven's greatest treasure in the person of Jesus. We can picture someone helping or saving someone, but not going so far as to make them a part of the family. But this is what God did for us. We help people all the time. We see homeless people and we give them money, but not one time have I ever said, get in the car, I'm taking you home. What is mine is yours. My food and my fridge is yours. My money and my banking account is yours. He owns the cattle that sits on 1,000 hills and they all belong to him. And the hills belong to him and he's giving it to you because you are his children. You're no longer estranged from him, but you are in a personal relationship with Jesus. Why do we stand at the marketplace and beg when we have a daddy in heaven that would give us everything that we need? We don't deserve it. We can picture someone helping us, though, guys. We can picture helping someone and giving them, you know, food out the fridge, money out my pocket. But I don't know. Come on, help me, somebody. I don't know if I really want. I could help you probably, but, man, it'd be hard for me to say, Adrian, I'm bringing 2 or 3 people home with me. They're going to live with me, live with us. She's like, you have lost your mind. It's hard enough letting family live with you, man. Wow. Can you imagine letting mere strangers? You're no longer strangers. You're his children. He adopted you. That's a process that only God can do. In a sense, we gained something greater than Adam and Eve. They were never adopted as sons and daughters, but we are. We celebrate the gift because of sonship. In Galatians 4, 6 through 7, Paul says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth into our hearts the spirit of his son, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ Jesus. Ask you a question this morning. When was the last time you cried out to God in an intimate way? I'm going to dismiss you guys. You can go ahead and stand. When was the last time you cried out to him in an intimate way? When was the last time that you with confidence approached God? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Did you hear that? We have a high priest that has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. And then he goes on to say, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Because he understands, church. He came in flesh, 100% man, 100% God, so that he can understand our feelings and emotions and the things that we're going to go through. Because he was God. He is God. He became man. Do you understand that? He's God, and he became man. He wrapped himself in flesh so that he could understand his creation. So he desired to be so intimately involved with you that he left all heaven's riches and made himself of no reputation and came to this earth. This year, as we celebrate, let us focus not so much on a gift that is wrapped in paper, but let us focus on a gift that was wrapped in cloth and was lying in a manger. This year, let us give someone else the gift of Christ. Someone may ask how. There are many different ways that we could accomplish this, and I want to give you some practical ways to accomplish this. You could pray for the less fortunate. And you could ask God, how should I give? In other words, we need to learn how to be evangelistic. You could also spend time with family, bringing Christ to the forefront of every one of your conversations this year. You could serve in some capacity within the church, the Salvation Army. There are many ways that we can get involved within our community to show the love of Christ. You could find a needy veteran in your community or a service person and give to them this year. You can go to the nursing facilities and sing songs and love on the elderly. In all that you do, however, do it with pure motives. Do it because you love God and you love people. Give somebody the greatest gift. Yeah, I'm not talking about necessarily getting someone to even profess Christ. That's awesome, and that's what we want. But some people already have, but they still need to see him through you and me. The greatest gift is Christ. For the next several weeks, we're going to talk about these things, all through hit and miss here and there, but we're going to talk about the gift giver. If you bow your heads today, and we're going to go to God in prayer. I said something earlier about running downstairs and opening gifts. We gain Christ, and then we later on so soon forget about him and don't honor him the way that he deserves to be honored. And man, we neglect that gift. We let it collect dust. And our lives are in shambles in areas. We struggle greatly and we wonder why. We need to pick that gift back up. Treasure it. Hold it. Embrace it. Let it change your life. If you're here today and that example speaks to your heart, that there are times where you run downstairs and you open the gift, you play with it for a while, and then you put it down and you forget about it. And today you want to renew that. You want a fresh start. Is that you this morning? Will you slip your hand up? See those hands. Amen. See those hands. God's going to touch you right there where you're at. I firmly believe in altar calls, but I believe God wants you to stay right there just where you're at. God wants to deal, make an altar in your heart. Make an altar right there before your seat right there. How many would say, Pastor, I need strength. I'm going through a season in my life and I don't know how I'm going to overcome. If that's you, slip your hand up this morning. I see those hands. I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. Make one last altar call. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, and you want to do that, you want to give him your life, you want to walk with him, will you slip your hand up today? Let's pray. Father, today we thank you, God. We thank you for your gift in the person of Jesus. Lord, I pray today, God, that every person who raised their hand, God, you see their heart. You know what they're standing in need of. Father, I pray today that transformation would take place. God, that you were set free. God, may we appreciate, may we love, may we embrace heaven's greatest gift. May we hold on to it and never let it go. God, strengthen your people today, God. God, transform our lives by your Spirit, God. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. God, these are your people, God. They cry out to you today. God, you're not withholding any good thing from them. May they receive the gift today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Living Hope Assembly of God.